I think Hillbilly Hank needs to do a seminar on sweeping and dusting at my house, right? For the little people. Mush, mush, mush. Amen. Well, let's open up our Bibles. Tonight we're going to talk about, you know, any time that we're under the Word of God, you know how Jesus combated the devil was by speaking the Word. And every time we speak the Word of God, we are putting God on people. I don't think you got that. Every time we speak the word, we're putting God on people, right? There's supernatural power. We see in Genesis chapter 1, in the first chapter, that everything God spoke came into existence, right? Why? Because there's power in the word. Everything God is, his words are containers of power. We're going to talk about how to handle persecution or how to handle things that don't go right in life. Have you ever had things that didn't quite go your way? Well, there's a pattern. There's a pattern in the Bible that talks about how we react to it. And the Bible also reads our mail and it says it predicts when we do react with it, what the problem is. Daniel chapter 11. It's in that part of the Bible where the pages stick together. Remember that? Right? There's no seminars in the book of Daniel or anything, but Daniel chapter 11, verse 33, New Living Translation, I'm going to read it. But it says, wise leaders, now, kind of give you a background of what's going on here. Remember that guy Daniel? And you remember him? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that was their Babylonian names. It was not their Hebrew names. We always refer to them as their Babylonian names because, believe it or not, Daniel's name was different. So it was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's name. All names were different to protect the innocent, right? So it sounds like a dragnet. Remember the old shows, those dragnet? Everybody, yeah, some of you don't know that what I'm talking about. But they always say protect the innocent. But they changed their names from Hebrew names to Babylonian names. And so we always refer to them as the Babylonian names. Well, in Daniel right here, they're currently, Israel is under the control of the Babylonians, right? They're living there. They're what we call, it's one of the times where they were in exile. And that means they were taken, they were conquered, and their people, a majority of their people were transported to wherever their conquered land was at. And so they're there, and now they're being oppressed. Again, for the Hebrews. And we see here in verse 33, it says, wise leaders will give instruction to many, but these teachers will die by fire and sword, or they will be jailed and robbed. Now, I believe in prosperity. I believe God's going to provide our needs. But this doesn't really go along with a lot of this stuff, does it? I mean, hello, right? This doesn't sound very happy. This isn't very uplifting. Hold on here. Verse 34, during these persecutions, little help will arrive. Oh, that's encouraging. Yeah, where do I sign up for that? Where's the sign-up sheet for that? Yeah. And then he goes, and many will join them, will not be sincere, and some of the wise will fall victim to persecution. In this way, they will be refined, here we go, and cleansed and made pure until the time of the end, for the appointed time is still to come. What he's saying is, no matter what you're going through, it's going to be rough, but there's going to be a refining process, there's going to be a cleansing process, and there's going to be a purifying process, right? I remember, how many, anybody play sports in here, right? Or you play an instrument, maybe you're in band or something like that. The worst word was practice, right? That was awful. I mean, I remember, and I like practicing, you know? Adrian will tell you, I drove her nuts all the time when I was in college, and I'd play scales for thousands of times, and she goes, yeah, you do is play them scales all the time. Well, practice makes perfect, right? It's annoying, but it does something. This, in a sense, it's refining. What else did Daniel say? It's refining, it's cleansing, and made pure until the time of the end. Basically, you are in a cleansing process. You are in stretch. It is doing something to you in the process. Hebrews chapter 12. Because we see the world now. The reason why I'm talking about this is because we see the world. The world is persecuting Christians now, right? Not only that, but if you don't jump on the political bandwagon, if you don't do what the news tells you to do, if you don't do all of these things, then you are what? I mean, do you think Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, there was political pressure to kneel? There was a lot of pressure, wasn't there? And guess what? Do you think there's probably other people that thought just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, but they weren't willing to take the stand? You better believe there was. There was pressure. See? Pressure. And the devil's really great about pressure. See, the Holy Spirit leads you. The Holy Spirit is a gentleman. The Holy Spirit will lead you to things. You'll have a, I like what Brother Hagin says, a velvety feeling on the inside. Now I'm sure that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego didn't have a real fuzzy feeling that day, right? They thought, whoops, we're going to be turned into marshmallows and we're going to be roasted here in about an hour, right? There was no good feeling about that. But the pressure, we'll talk about the pressure in a minute, what the Bible talks about. But the pressure came to cave. The pressure came to change. The pressure came. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. Now, I want to stop here for a minute, and I'm going to talk about some other things in just a minute, but it says such a what did it say? Surrounded with such a huge crowd of witnesses. You know, there's one thing that Gideon said there too, and some other ones. And when God, they went into war to, how was it, to attack the enemy, the Lord said through him, there are more of us than there are of them. Well, they have 300 people. 300 guys, that was it. But what was the host? The host was an angelic host with them. There is a host that is behind you and I that is huge. That is huge, right? They are saints that have gone on before us. That's grandpa and grandma and anybody else that went on before us that are believers. That's angels, right? And that's Jesus and God. If it's just me and God, then that's the majority, right? I mean, hello? Who's going to stand up to God? Nobody. So when the devil tries to come and tell you, you're the only one thinking these things, you're the only one, nobody else has experienced the same thing you are, that is the biggest lie. That is the biggest lie. You're the only one experiencing this pressure. You're the only one experiencing these financial issues. You're the only one going through this. No, 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 no. You're not the only one that's going through it, and you're not alone. Then it goes on, it says, let us run with endurance, the race that God has set before. So each person in this room has an assignment to do something, right? We all have a race to run. It's not a sprint. I was a sprint guy. I didn't do, when I was on track, I was a sprint guy. I didn't do those long distance things, right? I was like those cross-country people, I thought, you're crazy. I ain't running that, right? Got some other people nodding around here. I'm like short, sweet, burst of energy. I'm done. I'm over. I played baseball, so I ran bases. And it was like, okay, I'm 90 feet. I'm there. Another 90 feet, I'm done. It was like, I don't like the long distance. And the thing that we'd have practice or something, and the coach would get there and it'd be 100 degrees out. Okay, guys, we're going to do run laps around the field. Give me a break. This is a long distance run. So what does it mean? You got to have patience, right? It's just not, everything doesn't fall in line within the first week. You know, Lord, I want this done in 2 days. Get it all done. No, it's not going to happen that way. I had a guy that I was went to church with. God bless his pea-picking heart. But he just got born again, got saved. And then he said, well, next year I expect to be preaching in front of packed out stadiums. I'm like, okay. All right. But God doesn't do that, right? Because there's a process. There's things that you have to go on. You have to mature. You have to grow, right? So, you know, those of you who have kids, it's like, I mean, I've said it before, it's like a pay raise when you get out of diapers. It's like, hallelujah, the clouds split. Yes. The hallelujah chorus rings loud. It's just wonderful, right? But there's a process for going through all of that, you know? supposed to get a puppy here in a couple weeks, and it's like, they're cute, but they're a mess. And there's a process, isn't there, to get them from point A to point B. Then he goes on and he says, we do this by keeping our, what? Eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Amen, sister. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Got the cutest little squeal. She's just a cutie. But so we keep our eyes on Jesus, and that's the main thing, isn't it? Why? Because he's a champion. He initiates, he helps our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Now, I want to stop a minute. Jesus endured the pressure. Everybody say the pressure. Was the joy, was the pressure the joy? No, the pressure, the joy came from us on the other side, right? Jesus didn't, it wasn't the pressure that he had to enjoy. It's the end result, which is saving us so that he can be with us. That's the joy that's set before him. But he pushed through the pressure to get to the other end. And what happens is most people, they crack under the pressure. That's where the point is, the breaking point is at. Because of the joys awaiting him, the cross. Now in verse 3, and it says, think of all the hostility endured from sinful people, then you won't become weary and give up. After all, you have not given your lives in your struggle against sin. I want to stop there for a minute. What he's really saying here, the Apostle Paul, he's saying, what has Jesus paid to get us to this point? What did he go through to get from point A to point B? What did he go through to redeem us from where we were at, which was in sin, to being redeemed? Let's look at Matthew chapter 13. And just for kind of shorten things up, you can definitely read that portion all the way down to verse 13 where we were just at. But I want to move on here because there's some things I want to cover before we leave. Matthew chapter 13, verse 20. Matthew chapter 13, verse 20. Now, to kind of give you an idea, this is what we call Jesus is giving a parable, and he's giving a parable about different kinds of soil. So he has a seed, and he's talking about taking the seed, and he's throwing it on ground, and that seed lands on four different types of soil types, right? Mark chapter 4 has this also, and we're going to look at Matthew's rendition of it, his version of it in chapter 13, verse 20. And what he's saying here is Jesus is narrowing down. I'm going to focus on one type of soil that Jesus talks about here, right? So he talks about four different types of soil. Three of them are bad, one of them is good, and you want to be the good soil, right? What does that mean? That means that when the seed represents the Word of God in this scenario, and the Word of God is pure and it's perfect, but it's whether or not in our hearts are the soil. And it's whether we're going to be good soil and we're going to allow that seed to grow in our lives. Well, we see here, and this is something I want to get particular focus on tonight, is verse 20 says the seed. He's talking about a rocky seed here. The seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. So we're seeing these people, again, that if everything's going great, they receive it with joy. You know, we're having a great time in church. You know, the praise and worship is pumping and everything's energetic and really great. The anointing's going just fantastic. Wow, that was amazing. They receive it with joy. Here we go. Verse 21, but since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. So what that means is that joy and that wow factor leaves because it's not rooted in them. Here we go. They fall away as soon as they have problems or are what? Persecuted for believing God's word. So what does that mean? They receive the word, everything's great, because they fold under pressure, right? Bills start mounting up. I have family members that don't agree with me now. Now I've got family members who are attacking me because I'm now a believer. Now, you know, people at work are coming against me, right? Maybe I got a spouse that isn't on the same page I am. Whatever. There's pressure there because the word, there's challenge against the word they receive, and then from there they fold. So we see that, what does that mean? They really didn't have them in to begin with, right? Here we have those people maybe in school or something, you know, the friends of yours that those people you know, and they do something, you're like, they're never going to finish that. You know, they're never going to accomplish that. They're never going to do that. Why? Because it's not deep in them to finish. They have too much quit in them. They're not going to endure until the end. Well, they're not sold on the idea. The want to isn't there enough. It's not me or God, and that's it. I'm so great at making people feel uncomfortable sometimes because it's a gift I have. But I've been in work situations before where there's been compromised situations, and I say, I'm not doing that, right? You can just hear a pin drop, right? Because I want to be good soil. I don't want to compromise. I don't want persecution or pressure to come along and have to cave and cave to what my belief system is and betray Jesus to fit in or to feel comfortable and make the situation feel more comfortable, right? See, we all have those situations. And guess what? You're going to be tempted if you do walk with God. Yeah. It's not if, but it's when. 1 Kings 19. This is a great example of what we're talking about tonight. This is about Elijah, okay? 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 14. 1 Kings 19, 14. Now, can I stand up for a minute? Because I'm used to always preaching standing up. And I sit down because it's, but I like to move around some up. But in this scenario, we see that Elijah just came out of, we've got a manifestation going on in here. Whoa. There's a line right here. And the feedback doesn't want me to go back there, right? All right. But Elijah just calls down fire from heaven, okay? He's got these 400 prophets of Baal. I mean, they're cutting themselves. They're doing everything to get Baal to consume their sacrifice. Elijah shows up, and, you know, he not only brings a sacrifice, but he douses it with water. He soaks it real good, and he's over there laughing, making fun of the Baal. Oh, maybe your God's on... Maybe he's asleep. Maybe he's on vacation. Boy, he's just really hooping and hollering. And then kerwhammo, God comes down with fire from heaven, right? Consumes it all up. Goes, kills the 400 prophets of Baal. Everything's just fantastic. I mean, he is just flying high. Well, now we're going to read this portion of scripture where he goes from, you know, he's just an awesome rock star for God. You know, he's just flying high. He's just doing everything awesome. But then he comes back, and now we're going to read this. He says, he replied, I have zealously served the Lord God Almighty, but the people of Israel have broken their covenant with you, torn down your altars, and killed every one of your prophets. So he's throwing a baby fit here, right? He's throwing a little baby tantrum. I'm the only one left, right? Here we go. It's just me. I'm all alone. I'm a little orphan out here. Look at me. Orphan Annie. And then he goes, and now they're trying to kill me too. Well, hey, Einstein, what happened just right a few chapters before that, right? You just called down fire from heaven, consumed the, I mean, he was on top of the world. I mean, bam, 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 bam. God is, he's just firing on all cylinders. And now he's complaining. And then and this is the Lord. This is what God says, right? Go back the same way you came and travel to the wilderness of Damascus. When you arrive there, anoint Hazael to be the king of Aram. Then anoint Jehu, grandson of Nishi, to be king of Israel, and anoint Elisha, son of Shaphath, from the town of Abimaholo, to replace you as my prophet. Now, I'm going to say this. Stop right here. When we get to heaven, there is going to be an anointing to say biblical names. I am sure of that. Amen? You know? yeah. So, you know, we were always joking about names. You know, if we had boys or anything like that, we were joking around people. It's like, we should have names like Nebuchadnezzar and Joktan and, you know, all of these other ones, whatever. So, anyway, in verse 17, anyone who escapes from Hazael will be killed by Jehu. Here we go. And those who escape Jehu will be killed by Elisha. Here we go. Verse 18, yet I will preserve 7,000 others in Israel. Here we go. Who have never bowed down to Baal or kissed him. Can I just say this? When you watch TV, nobody's serving God, right? Right? When you watch the news, right? Yeah. Everybody's a whack job, you know? If you don't believe over here, then you're a weirdo, right? And it was show, and it's funny because I've seen behind the scenes where, you know, especially the last few years, everything's been so crazy political, but they'll show things on the news where it's not even, you'll see like 10 people rioting or doing something, and then they pull a Zoom out. I was watching, this is hilarious, I was watching one of these knuckleheads on TV, news anchors, and they're talking about the flood, and they're trying to build up all this fear, right? And so I'm watching this guy, and he's got a news anchor, I'm not going to say what station it is, but it's CNN, I'm saying, but that slipped out. But he's got it, he's standing in a ditch, right? Like up to here with waders on, and the camera zoomed out, and it's a little pothole the size of half of this room, right? And he's standing there interviewing somebody in their water, and it looks so ridiculous because it's like we're trying to get the fear out. Yep. And then they zoomed out, and everything was dry around them, but there's like a 50-foot spot where they're standing in there. I'm like, okay, my mama told me to come out of the rain, and you're standing in a puddle, right? But the point is everything, and just like this scripture says, everything is not the way it appears, right? They want you to think that everybody is crazy and nut job, and you're the weirdo because you're Christian. And guess what? Nobody else is Christian but you. That's not true. That's not true. Why don't you go? This is funny. I like watching these crazy people. They'll have these news feeds and stuff, and you'll read it, and they'll say something like, you know, some ridiculous thing. Go read the news feeds on these things or the comments. Most people have common sense, right? Like, you'll see 10,000 thumbs down and like 100 thumbs up. Right. Really? Yep. Really? So you're putting this out and everybody's publicly condemning what you're saying, but you're still going to put it out, right? Like it's gospel. Yep. But when you look behind the scenes, it's not true. It's not true at all. That's the same thing here with Elijah. God is saying, wait a minute here. Whoa, 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 whoa. Calm down. You're not the only one. There's 7,000 people out there who feel the same way, that have not kneeled to Baal. They have not done this. You see on TV and it's like, well, everybody's doing this. And everybody's like, and everybody thinks this. And everybody thinks this. And if you don't think the way we do, you're just crazy. Well, call me crazy because I don't. The point is this, pressure's going to come, and the devil is all about lies to get you to think something else, right? Mm-hmm. Jesus dealt with this. The Bible says he was tempted in every way. He had flesh, right? Mm-hmm. He was hungry. We know that when he fasted 40 days, when he came out, when he's baptized in the Holy Spirit, and he came out, what was he tempted? To eat, right? Well, Jesus, if you're really the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. Well, wait a minute. Isn't Jesus God? Yeah, he is, but he's still operated in a body, didn't he? So he still felt pressure. His flesh was causing pressure, wasn't it? Right? His flesh was saying, eat now. What did he say? Nope. No, I'm not. Why? Because we just read there in the parable of the seed, the seed was so embedded in Christ that he was not willing to cave into the pressure, was he? So we see here that a level of pressure, your commitment will determine where you will buckle under pressure. How much word is in you? How committed are you to do this, right? It's your word level and your pressure level. Where is it that you're going to crack? Hopefully you won't. Acts chapter 8, verse 1. Anybody get anything else? Am I boring anybody here today? Acts chapter 8, verse 1, and it says, Saul here. And it says, Saul, no, this is Saul, which later became the apostle Paul. But Saul went around persecuting Christians, right? So we hear Saul was one of the witnesses. He was witnessing Stephen. And he agreed completely with the killing of Stephen. And then persecution scatters the believers here. Here we go. And then it says, a great wave of persecution began that day, sweeping over the church in Jerusalem. Here, this is very important. See, we read stuff. We don't dig into this. I want you to absorb this statement. Are you ready? And all the believers, here we go, except the apostles. All the believers, here we go, except the apostles. Everybody say, except the apostles. Except the apostles. Were scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria. Why? There was pressure. Who didn't submit to the pressure? The apostles. Why? Because of that word level in them, right? They were in it to win it. They were committed until the end. So you're going to see things, right? You'll see things like believers now. Oh, everything's awful, terrible. Everything's going to hell in a handbasket. Everything's God, you know, as if God's not on the throne. You'll see believers that will cave at the first sign of trouble, at the first sign of pressure. What happened here? The believers, doesn't mean they were bad people or anything. It's just that when the pressure came, they left. But the apostles were dug in. They walked with Jesus. They talked with Jesus. They were so committed to Christ. His words were burned in them. They weren't going anywhere. They were planted. They were committed. 2 Corinthians 4. We'll end here. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 1. So kind of a recap. We know that persecution is going to come. Pressure is going to come. We know that your word level or commitment level is going to determine how committed you're going to be, right? Are you sold on this? Are you committed? Are you committed to Christ? Are you going to do this no matter what? The biggest thing I see all the time is this. The devil comes along, and this is a perfect example. The devil comes along when we see people who just come to Christ, start coming to church, start doing things. The pressure comes to stop. The pressure comes to give up. The pressure comes to do something else, right? And that's usually your point. So, you know, it was when I became, Adrian and I, we got married, we rededicated ourselves back to Christ, and we really came to the point where we didn't have to make one decision every week. We made one decision a lifetime. It was, I will be in church every time the door is open. Every time the door is open, I'm going to be there, right? And that was our commitment. We didn't have to decide, well, do I go to church, do I not? Because now you're giving into a double mind. Like, well, I'm not sure if it's important or not. Or do I live for Christ because my family's coming against me? And I mean, you should see us, you know, back then it was like, well, we're doing this thing. Well, great. And it was almost like expect like, well, you know, we're doing this activity. You want to come with us? And then after a while, they got it where we're not even going to ask. Because we had it in us. That was what we were doing. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1, and it says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidings of things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness nor handling of the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Why? Here we go, verse 4. In whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not. Now, we can't beat up people in the world because they don't understand. Read that again. In whom the God of this, who's the God of this world? Satan, the enemy, has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine into them. Verse 6, let's skip down to verse 6 here. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthly vessels. Who's that? You and I. We have this, we are the earthly vessels, and that treasure is in us. What's the treasure? It's Christ in us. So are we alone? No, we're not. That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Here we go, verse 8. We are troubled on every side. What now? Yet not distressed. Did you hear me there? We are troubled on every side. The pressure's coming from every side. The pressure's coming from every side. The pressure is coming from every side, right? But we're not distressed. Why? We are perplexed, but what? But not in despair. How many have been kind of perplexed the last couple of years? How many in the world, I mean, do you see people? Right, and I'm not condemning them. We're not beating them up. But they wrap a stupid piece of cloth around their face as some kind of salvation. I mean, really? I mean, that's your choice. I don't, you know, whether you wear a mask, you don't, that's your decision. That's neither here nor there. But if that's your faith, is in a diaper wrapped around your mouth, give me a break, right? And it's not only that the situation's perplexed, but it's the perplexing thing is people are giving into this. Not to say there isn't a real disease, not to say there isn't, but people are losing their minds over fear of this stuff. My Bible says here that trouble is on every side. I'm not to be distressed. That I can be perplexed and still not be in despair. Because greater is he that lives in what? Me? Than he that's in the world. If you don't have the hope of glory in you, if you don't have Jesus in you and have the faith in him, and that, you know what? It's not my ability to get a hold of him, but it's his care and love for me that he has seen me through things that I'm not even conscious of. I remember one time when I was a kid, I should be dead multiple times. I'll just say this. I did crazy stuff, and I just did dumb stuff as kids and when I was a teenager. The Lord showed me one time just things that he saved me from, he delivered me from. You can't believe how many times, and I wasn't walking with God at the time. I wasn't really conscious or aware of things, but God is doing things, and I believe every person in this room is a miracle from God. I believe it's from heaven that you're even here today. Right. Hearing about him. Hello? Amen. And so I remember him. He saved me from drowning when I was about 6 years old, 6, 7 years old. I'm an idiot. I'm like, oh, I'm going to jump in the deep end. That slide looks fun. And I just went down the slide. And where I go, and I'm like, look at me. I'm sinking. You know? And all of a sudden, I feel myself being pulled out. You know? And the amazing thing was right when I went in, somebody went in right after me and saved me. I mean, I was at times where I was in trouble. I was in situations where I could have went to prison, right? I was hanging out with a guy that I worked with. We were drinking beer at his house. I left. I just had this urging like, oh, I got to get out of here. 30 minutes later, the police showed up. He had a meth lab in his basement. I'd gone to prison. I never used meth in my life. I mean, I drank a lot of beer back in the day, but I didn't use any meth. wasn't any of that stuff. But see how God rescued me all of my life from things that I'm not even aware of. I believe he's rescued you from things you've not even believed. You're a miracle today. I'm a miracle. It's not because I'm wonderful or anything else. It's because God, because of my idiot, because of my being an idiot half the time and just not knowing things and just doing dumb things, he has rescued me for a purpose. And I believe he's rescued you for a purpose as well. Amen. And so along this path, we have got to, there's trouble on every side. But guess what? We're not going to be distressed. Why? Because he's going to bring us out. We're going to walk. We're going to walk in righteousness. Then he goes on and he says, we are perplexed. You know, it doesn't mean that you may not have the symptoms of fear come on you, but it's how you deal with fear that makes you an overcomer. There are times where I'm just like, I don't know how to do this, God. I don't know what to do. Help me, right? And there's times I've been like, just, you know, I did not want to go to Bible college. I did not want to become a pastor, right? Because to me, pastors were just, you know, old guys that ate, you know, fried chicken on Sundays, you know? I mean, that was like, I don't want to be that. That's not me. It's not really stereotypes. But I did it anyway. Let's move on here. And it says, verse 9, persecuted but not forsaken. You are not forsaken during persecution, during pressure. God is with you. The lie of the enemy is that you're alone, you're in this by yourself, God has not had any hand in your life. And I'm telling you what right now, he has had a hand in your life. Because if the devil had his way, he would have killed you years ago. Hello? Because John 10:10 says that Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly, but the enemy comes for to steal, kill, and destroy. All the devil is about to do is destroy you. He wants to poison your mind. He wants to poison your body. And he wants to eventually destroy you and throw and get rid of you. And God is working on our behalf, the Bible says, for us. Verse 10, always bury about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be manifest in our body. So everything Christ did in us, that what he took on the cross is now ours. Verse 11, for we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be manifest in our mortal flesh. What does that mean? Everything that Christ died for, we need to take advantage of. Years ago, I'll close with this. I worked in banking, and I had clients, and I did investments and things like that. I had a guy, told the story before, had $80,000 in just one account with me, okay? I mean, he would come in and get $20 every just once in a while, right? He lived under a bridge. They had other accounts with several hundred thousand dollars in it. He lived homeless. He'd come in. He stunk so bad. He'd sit down at my desk. Hey, Brent. You know, talk like this. And he had all this money, but didn't access it. And he was homeless. And he ate out of dumpsters. And he'd come in every week or two and get $20. And that's what he lived off of. But he's homeless. But he had all this money. How many Christians are out there who are not taking advantage of what Christ gave us? And I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about the blessings of God, right? The Bible says we have the mind of Christ. How many are having stinking thinking out there? When we get our minds connected with and our spirits connected with what the Word has to say, we don't have to be in fear. We don't have to have anxiety anymore. Adrian's got a testimony about that. We don't have to have anxiety. We don't have to have fear. You know, we don't have to be insecure. We don't have to feel rejected anymore. We don't have to live in poverty. We don't have to be sick anymore. We don't have to be depressed anymore. The world tells you have to do those things. Well, you're just going to have to deal with this, right? The doctors and stuff. Well, you just got to live this as far as your life. Bull. That is not true. Because again, John 10:10 says that he has come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. See, life to me is just, you know, if he would have said, just you have life, that's one thing, right? I'm breathing, I'm physically alive. But he said, you have life and more abundantly. That means, what blessed means is nothing missing, nothing separated in your life. You are at peace, right? This whole stinking world can blow up tomorrow, and I'm still at peace, right? I don't watch the news. I mean, I know what's going on. I don't spend a lot of time watching the news. Because number one, I don't believe any of it, right? Like Smith Wigglesworth said, he's like, it's just, you know, he told Lester Sumrall wouldn't let the paper in there. That's all the devil's information, right? That's all the devil's junk. You're never going to see anybody on TV getting healed on the news, right? Nobody on the nightly news. It's such a blessing. So-and-so got baptized in the Holy Spirit, and it's so wonderful. Their life is set free, and they're not on depressants anymore, and God has delivered them, and look, they're out of this wheelchair, and look at this, and they don't have to deal with this anymore. No. Oh, by the way, our sponsors are all of the pharmaceutical companies, so we don't want to upset them by talking about anybody being healed, because that's kind of a conflict of interest, isn't it? Right? Well, Jesus is a big fat conflict of interest for this world, isn't it? Right? Guys, we don't have to live in fear, all right? When the pressure comes, it's temporary. See, for Jesus, when we read there in Hebrews chapter 12, it was a temporary thing. It was the joy that sat before him. He endured the shame. The shame was temporary, but the reward is going to be so much better on the other side. And the devil is often scared a lot because if he can get you to cave, then he's got you not. See, the pressure comes because there's fear on the other side, right? That's why, you know, people who get born again and they just get saved. The problem is when you have, because I was like that too. I was in a band. I was in bands before and played and I was out all over. And I'd have these people. Adrian and I, we just got married and I rededicated myself, and all of a sudden the phone calls come, hey, we need a guitar player over here for a band, blah, blah, blah. And I'm thinking to myself, yeah, you're also involved in meth and all kinds of other drugs, and I don't want to be a part of that. And amazing how all these offers come in right after I got born again and right after I dedicated myself. Why, the devil is going to come along and tempt you and put pressure. How come you're not? Oh, we need to, oh, this would be great, blah, 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 blah. No, I'm not. I'm done. I'm sold out. I'm turning my life to Jesus. And so the pressure comes. Why? Because the devil, he's afraid of what you're going to turn into. That's why you have pressure from people. That's why I see the people who are, I don't know why I'm talking about this, but people who are born again and they just get into the kingdom and they have family and friends that start putting pressure on them. Why? Because you're changing and they're still the old person. See, it's not about them. They're concerned about you. It's because they don't want to get left behind and you go somewhere that they're not going. And the devil's scared too. So again, when the pressure comes, just know, this is great. It's going to be temporary. It'll be over. And guess what? God's got this. He's going to see me through. It's going to be okay no matter what I see on TV, no matter what I hear from people, family and friends. That doesn't matter because I will not be in disarray. I will not, even though I'm perplexed, I'm still going to have the peace of God that passes understanding. Amen. And we're going to see, I believe we're going to see more crazy things come up in the news. I believe we're going to see more crazy things going on. And you know what I'm going to do? Oh, yeah, it's all good. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, but you know, this could happen. This could happen. It doesn't matter. I'm still good. You know, what's the worst thing that can happen? I die today. I'm with Jesus like that. You know, I mean, are you threatening me with death? Like the Apostle Paul said, it's better for me to go than for me to stay. If I go, I'm with Jesus. I don't have to work anymore. Well, I can float around. I can eat what I want to. I can be with Jesus. Right? It's all party time up here. Here, it's not as good. But, amen. And let's just close our eyes. We just sit in prayer. Lord, we come before you tonight. You know, tonight, I want to make, as we close here, and I thank everybody for being here tonight. You know, if you have not given your life to Jesus, and you've not made that commitment to him tonight, okay? And you're thinking I'm crazy, and you're not the only one. So there's a lot of other people that think I'm crazy, but Jesus paid an ultimate price for you. And I believe every person is a miracle. I know the world thinks that people are just, you know, especially babies and everything, everybody's expendable, you know, but God sees you as special. You know, you are his child. He loves you. And he sees just wonderful things in you. And that's why the devil in this world, we often have a low self-esteem of ourselves. But God sees us in a new light. If that's you, you've never made Christ your Lord. I'm not just saying just a prayer. I'm saying you haven't made him your Lord. Nobody's looking around. I want you to raise your hand tonight. Just raise your hand. We want to pray with you. We want to give you an opportunity tonight. This is a time of new beginnings. And, you know, I've been in churches before where they'll celebrate. Yeah, no, this is a beginning. This is a starting line, not a finishing line. The other thing is, too, if you've never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I mean, there's two experiences. There's a born-again experience where you ask Jesus into your life. He becomes the Lord of your life. He is now changes your nature. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, all things pass away. Behold, all things become new. You are a new creature in Christ. You're brand new. You have the life of God in you now. The other thing is, Jesus told the disciples to wait in Jerusalem after he died and he was crucified, that there is going to be this power to be a witness. This is so powerful. And Jesus had this power upon him when John the Baptist baptized him. The Holy Spirit came upon him. If you've never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I want you to raise your hand tonight. We'll want to pray with you as well. We always want to give everybody the opportunity to do these things. Amen? Or if you want to come up for any prayer afterwards, we want to pray with you. Amen? We're so excited everybody's here tonight. You're a blessing. Amen. Father, we pray tonight that the Spirit, when persecution and pressure comes, I speak the love of God right now supernaturally over every person tonight. Peace of God that passes all understanding on upon every person tonight. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Wednesday night prayer, it's been good. We've been praying down the house. Hallelujah. Have a great week.